Hey everyone, it's Chelsea Schaefer. Thank you for tuning back in with us as I have been less than reliable at recording these episodes, as everyone on my team will tell you. But there's been enough happening in the sport of team roping, and there's just enough amazing good stuff to talk about that I could not help but get a few episodes ready for you all. So this week you're going to be able to hear from Steve Friskup, who's one of my favorite guests that I have on the podcast almost every year now since we started, where we talk about the rope horse market. And there's never been a better time to talk about the rope horse market than right now, with everything that happened at the Old West Futurity and the Old West Futurity sale. Steve talks about what the selling of a $1.7 million mare means for the industry, what it meant for him personally, what he saw in the market, what he's seeing in the market, what he's seeing in the sport of team roping. I don't know that I've said this before. Maybe I have. Maybe you're all sick of hearing me say it. I don't know. But this might be my favorite interview of all time, because there was just so much that Steve and I have in common when it comes to how we care about this sport and how we care about the horse industry. And you'll hear me. I fully admit I was shooting the slack at Reno while I had this phone call, and I was recording it for you all to listen to because I knew it was going to be golden. So please excuse the announcer and people yelling "you're out" in the background, because I'm guessing you might be able to hear that. I recorded this conversation because I just knew Steve and I were going to jive on this, because we definitely have more of a chat than I usually do. I'm usually the one asking the questions, but we're both pretty passionate about this subject. So I hope you can hear that in our voices, that you don't judge me too much for stepping a little bit outside my role as a journalist and more into an advocate for the sport of team roping in this conversation, because there's been a lot, man, it's been heavy on me. There's been a lot of negativity around this sale. I'm mostly positive. I will say my barrel racer friends told me that they have seen nothing but positivity. And I really want to lean into that. And that's why it's really important for me to drop this interview. Later in the week, we will drop an interview with Miles Baker on this sale, because Miles is who sold the horse. And then I'm gonna have Alan Jones, who bought Crosby Ray Vaughn for $1.7 million, and you can listen to his interview and his perspective on it. So trying to get the full gamut of people who bought horses in this sale. And you know, there are people who bought horses for $30,000 out of this sale. There are horses that sold for $40,000. I think an important point is that there was a little bit for everybody. We've had great rope horse sales across the board all year. Well, for the last 5 or 6 years, things have been just on the upward trajectory in the rope horse market. But there's still been plenty of horses for everybody. So I want you to listen to this interview with an open mind. I hope you can. And we will provide some more coverage of it on our website at teamropingjournal.com. In the meantime, I want to say that if you're interested in this mare, Crosby Ray Vaughn, we have her training program from the time she was a two-year-old over on roping.com, which is something that Trevor and Miles and I really wanted to do when we started this partnership with the Relentless Bermuda and roping.com. There's no secrets. I mean, Miles sits on her and talks for an hour about all the different elements of her training. And this was before we knew she was going to be this special. I mean, I think Miles says in those clips, those original clips, that she's special. But I don't know that any of us could have predicted this and predicted how well this went. So enjoy this interview with Steve Friskup, who sold Crosby Ray Vaughn at auction at the Old West Futurity sale in Heber City on June 20th. Well, I mean, you're 48 hours removed from selling the highest selling prospect of all time in the rope horse business. What's going through your brain right now about it all?
Well, besides answering the telephone, I mean, everybody's just fired up about it and excited. And it's just, you know, the cool part about it is it's just kind of a moment of, accomplishment for everybody.
Yeah.
You know, not all team roping minded people are as focused on the horse as we are now with the fraternity business and everything. And so I always consider it more of creating a value or recognizing the value of a horse rather than putting a value on him and or her. And and as that has increased over time here, it's just, to me, it's that finally mankind has woke up and realized just how valuable these things are when it comes to quality of life issue and ownership and opportunity. These horses create an awful lot of opportunity. And so when they recognize that to the tune of 1.7 million, it's just a pretty cool moment in time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you and I have been talking. We started talking about rope horse value a couple years ago, and I think I'm going to pull all of our conversations and pull transcripts of all of our conversations and put them into ChatGPT and tell me how our conversations have evolved. Pick out some themes and talk about how it's evolved. Because, man, I mean, I think we've been consistent, you and I, when it comes to the way we've talked about it. But, man, the circumstances have just evolved faster than I thought they could evolve the way we've gone.
Well, you remember, Chelsea, when we, and it's been about 5 years ago now.
Yeah.
When we sold the head horse for, I believe it was 78.5 at Rancho Rio.
Mm-hmm.
Right up next to 80,000. That was the biggest news of the day.
It was.
More interviews after that horse sold than I ever had in my life. And by the next year, we sell like half a dozen of them for 100 or more, and nobody cares.
Right?
I mean, that just elevated that fast.
Yeah.
And now, the clip went off from being, and even the other night, we sold a gilded the other night for 700,000.
Right? And, you know, I am excited that one that sold for $175,000, that's going to be one that the guy that bought it's putting into Wesley Thorpe's program, that people don't even realize that or know that yet. We haven't publicized that, but we're getting ready to. I mean, I think we're seeing things at every, I'm in awe of what we're seeing, I guess.
We're now bringing a whole nother new wave of people to the table.
Mm-hmm.
And people that are interested, they're catching the spirit of the sport, and they've got really deep pockets.
Yep.
And then that event, Chelsea, that event this weekend, that might be my favorite event of all time to ever attend.
Yes.
I mean, it was, the roping was so good. The atmosphere was so good. The setup and then the sale, and done at such a high level. It was really something.
And I feel as if the people who are, there are, I don't know if you, I'm sure you were at a roping yesterday, not sitting on the internet reading comments, I bet, but there were some really negative comments about all of it. And I called Denny, and him and I talked about it for a long time. And Denny was like, man, you can't change their mind, but you can make them think, you know? And it's like, I don't want to change anybody's mind about this, but I would like people to think about where we are. What are you, and one of the things Denny and I talked about was where the bottom of the market is, because people are saying team roping is going to become a rich man's sport. And personally, for me, I feel like with all this extra money coming into the sport, and with the Riata having all these new horses being bred specifically for team roping, that this isn't going to be a rich man's sport. This is the attraction to the rich men is all of the everyday man that's participating in this sport. And that's what's driving the excitement, because the cutters, the cow horse guys, they don't have the numbers that we have over in team roping to cater to. I don't know. I'm talking at you instead of asking you a question, but I'm curious, where are you on, is 1.7 million bad for the bottom of the market?
No. And you know, when jealousy speaks, it always sounds rotten.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, There you go. Enough said about that. Here's the truth of the matter. I'm not an extremely wealthy guy. I was at a roping yesterday. The fees were $60 a man. It was tough, and the arena was full, and they were there all day, and we had a great time. And my horse didn't cost $100,000, and I still collected money, and was able to win. And you don't have to be a rich man to participate in this. But here's what makes this sport so special apart from the rest of them. It has a lot of generational longevity because the youth are attracted to it. It has a good family component because everybody can do it. No matter your mentality, no matter your athleticism, no matter your age, what Denny began with the numbering system and classifications, everybody can participate and be competitive. Then at the same time, with the futurity program, we have the ultimate exit strategy for these horses. When they enter into a non-pro, novice, amateur food chain, so to speak, that is overwhelming. We are the only equine sport on the planet where the amateurs can win more than the pros in any given day.
Yeah, and maybe the only sport, not even equine. I mean, arguably the only sport on the planet.
Yeah, period. Just sport, period.
Yep.
And so with all that being said, if all you found out of this situation was negativity, then this has been a game of your mind and not a game of your heart from the very beginning. You really shouldn't speak. And so we...
Full body chills. Say that again. Seriously, say that again. That was amazing.
If all you can find is a negative component in what's going on here, then that's a matter of your mind and not a matter of your heart. And you really shouldn't speak.
Amen.
Because this is not about dollars and cents. It's not. Now, everybody that makes a living doing this or around this, yes, the dollar and cents are important, but this is a quality of life issue. I sat around the other day with men my age that have been to the BFI and they this, that, and the other. And I've never been a professional roper. Sometimes I rope more than professionals do, but I just do what I do. But we talk about it all the time. What would we do without this sport? What would we do with ourselves? What would we do with our horses? What would we do? And so it is no surprise to a man that loves this that a man with deep pockets would fall in love with the same sport and spend more money than I would ever think of spending or a lot of other people. But you know what? When people have put their heart and soul into breeding these things and riding them and training them and investing in them, and all of a sudden they get that one lightning strike. They get to sell their horse for $1.7 million. That's amazing. And you should embrace those moments with these people. Don't be spiteful in it. I mean, that's just ridiculous. I remember, Chelsea, 4 years ago, maybe five now, I sold a 2-year-old at the NCHA Futurity. His name was Tin Man. And Wes Ashlock had him in there, and he was the coolest little horse on the planet.
It was amazing. Yes, sir.
Yes. And so when we were selling that horse, he was in tears.
Yep.
And I was selling it, and me and Wes are friends, and I love him horses. I'm not a cutter, but man, I love those horses.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a lump in their throat.
Exactly.
And for $500,000, we were so happy for Wes. The very next year, we come back and sell a 2-year-old filly for him named Would She Be Magic, and she's the first one to bring over $1 million. She bought $1,050,000. It wasn't about the money. It was about people recognizing that horse.
Yep.
They recognized that guy's work and that horse. And we're not jealous over it, man. We celebrate with them.
Today's episode is presented by Fastback Ropes. They have long been supporters of all of our rope horse industry coverage, and we are so grateful for Fastback Ropes. Every rope Fastback produces reflects their commitment to craftsmanship, durability, and performance.
qualities that Fastback knows are essential to the roper. Fastback's mission remains steadfast: to lead the industry through innovation, quality, and customer satisfaction. Fastback's excited about the new opportunities the year holds and is committed to exceeding your expectations at every turn. Your success is Fastback Rope's success, and they are honored to be part of your journey. Learn more at fastbackropes.com. You can order ropes, find a local retailer, download the catalog, or shop for gear and Fastback merch. Again, that is fastbackropes.com. And if you want to get a hold of them, you can call 817-279-1851.
And if you know Miles Baker, like, you know, people talk Trevor Brazil because he's involved, of course. But if you know Miles Baker as a person, the idea of somebody, and there's no secret that Miles is one of my best friends on the planet. But so I'm defensive of him and stepping out of my journalistic editorial standpoint here. But man, to know Miles and to know how not about the money it is for that guy and how, you know, how he's been blessed because he's been living in it, like.
He went to work the other day for Trevor here a while back, just a few years ago, with $1,200 in his pocket.
And that's lie. And you know, something that I don't tell people, or that he certainly doesn't tell people, is when he did that, he was riding a horse for free for me because I was going through a hard time in my life. And he was riding a 4-year-old just to try to make him something to sell so I could have a little money in my pocket, and didn't charge me a dime. Not training, not commission, not anything. You know, rode him for a year. And that's, it's no secret to anybody that I'm a loyalist in that regard. But man, if there's anybody that deserves loyalty, it's that guy.
Well, and it's just a matter of the heart. And here's where we get messed up in all of this. And I sat at the table with the Richards the other day, and because all these different breed associations and big events and people, and I'm not a very big voice in any of it, but I got a front row seat. And when it becomes not about the horse, especially in this futurity side of things, when it becomes not about the horse and it becomes only about the money, get ready. Because there'll be a day of reckoning.
Mm-hmm.
We missed the point.
Yeah.
We missed the point. So when Miles Baker is sitting there trying to hold it back while that filly is selling, hell, I was the same way. I mean, my Adam's apple's where I couldn't talk anymore. Because the emotion of it means it's a matter of the heart.
Yeah.
When Joseph Harrison gets announced as the first $1 million winner in Team Rope and Futurity, and he just, in his own words, he told me, he said, "I just become a puddle." And I said, don't lose that.
Yes.
Don't lose that, because this is a matter of the heart. And the money is secondary, but it will come. And so that's, and people, I was telling one of them guys up there, Rick Montero, we were talking the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you know what's really crazy is, I said, I've been around this stuff all my life and just always been an extreme amateur, but I love to rope. And I've got a lady sitting next to me right here who will vouch for me. I love to rope. And you know what? That's what brings all this. We love the horses. We love the sport. And you know what? When it shows up to the tune of $1.7 million on one filly, well, glory hallelujah.
Amen. Amen, sir. Yeah.
So,
Steve, I'm glad I called you. I'm glad you called me back this morning, because this is what I needed. I needed for myself. I needed to talk through it too, not just for media's sake. Because man, I'm happy for my friends. That is for sure. And I'm so happy for this sport. I've been in it 15 years. You've been in it a little longer, but it's certainly been a little bit of a reckoning these last few days.
It's so fun. You know, back in the old days, because they'd always warn me, you know, and I was working my way up the ladder, but I always made a joke out of it. But like down there at the cutting horse sale, one of them colts was too big to cut on, or the cutters didn't like him. Well, I'd say something, you know, one of them guys, and I said, "Man, that one there, I tell you, rope on him." Well, they'd almost run you out of the building. You know, don't say that around these.
Yeah, it was like
Yeah,
dirty
you need rope
words.
on.
Yeah.
Yeah, dirty words.
Yes.
Well, guess what? Team roping come along is going to save the day for everybody.
Yep. I
And
saw. Yes, sir.
this was that 1,000,007, and them big purses at that fraternity this weekend. That was not the icing on the cake. That was the first rung of the ladder. And so this deal's going to, this, we're headed somewhere now. This is awesome.
Sir, this is my baby, my I mean my favorite interview and I've ever done, but maybe my favorite interview I've ever done. I that's and that's I promise you
Well,
that. That is special. So
yeah, well, perfect.
thank you, Steve. You
All
have a
right.
wonderful
See you.
day.
All right,
See
Chelsea.
you
See
later.
you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, I hope you all enjoyed this episode of The Score. I know I did. We will be back in a couple days with another interview with Miles Baker on this awesome horse.